Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Ha! Not that Maggie's back in town.
McMonagle here with you on this wonderful, glorious Tuesday morning. It couldn't be done. This Knicks team doesn't belong on the same floor as the Boston Celtics. Look at every time they played during the regular season. They have no chance. It took them 6 games to beat the lousy Pistons. And I know they haven't won anything except took game one right from the Boston Celtics, 108-105. And now, and this is my main point. We'll get to a lot of different things in the game, but I told you yesterday, I'm not saying the Knicks are now the favorites in this series, but don't you feel different? All of a sudden, all the talk about being unable to beat them. There is no way they don't belong in the series. This would be the biggest upset in the history of New York sports. I can't even enjoy winning the Pistons series because there's no way they could beat the Boston Celtics. And now it's one game. And I know I feel different. And I'm sure you feel different. And I think the Boston Celtics feel pretty different too. Because the Knicks, a team that clearly they're comfortable playing as they're up 20 points in the second quarter. As they are running away with that game. And yes, they played terribly too. A lot of this, there's always two sides of the coin. The Knicks played extremely well down the stretch of this game, not the entire game. Actually didn't play all that well during a lot of the game. But the Celtics, who are so reliant on their three, break an all-time record and shoot 60 threes. They missed 45 three-pointers. And when people complain about the NBA today, that could be why, because the defending champs came out with a 20-point lead and hardly did anything else but take threes the entire second half. But this New York team finds a way to come back. I mean, who thought this game wasn't over in the second quarter the way that was going? Who didn't think the second half, that third quarter, wasn't going to be the ugliest, most depressing? Let's go watch something else. Let's go watch the Yankees blow a game. Let's do anything else but watch this disastrous second half where the Knicks are going to get embarrassed yet again by the Boston Celtics. And instead, this entire team and every single one of them played a role. And we talk so much about other than Brunson. And we talk so much about the, oh, I wish we had Randall, and I wish we had this one, and I wish we had that one, and if only we still had this one and the depth and the bench. This starting five, mainly, but this team, every single player had a role in this remarkable comeback. And watching it, watching what they did as they storm back in the second half, as you see OG Anunoby hitting countless big threes, as you see Mikal Bridges, who I can't talk about enough. I mean, you take these two back-to-back performances, I'm not kidding. Every pick they gave up was worth how he played in that overtime. And from his defensive effort to even a big corner three to the rebound going out of bounds that leads to the dunk by Anunoby, like Anunoby's offense, his defense, even Hart, who had a terrible game shooting the basketball, which is nothing new, but his ability to just make plays, get rebounds. I mean, if you think about it, listen to this. Now, this is what the Knicks haters are going to say. This is what the people are going to tell you, that there are still crazy mismatches and things that went terribly wrong for the Knicks. If you could imagine that the New York Knicks were to be out-rebounded in this game, to have Karl-Anthony Towns, who I talk so much about needing to be that second guy offensively, be the main reason. I talked all yesterday about getting him the ball and running the offense through him at times was going to be so important and so key to this series, and something the coach was going to have to rely on. The time when they actually did it in the second quarter and allowed Karl-Anthony Towns to, he got a big-time matchup favorites, and he was on the smaller defender, and they tried to work the ball down to him down low. Everything I wanted, everything we've been talking about, and it was the cause of the reason they lost the entire second quarter and were down 20 points, as he could not get a shot off, as he kept getting rejected at the rim, as he missed every single shot. So they got out-rebounded and gave up way too many offensive rebounds and second-chance points. 19 offensive rebounds from the Boston Celtics. Karl-Anthony Towns scores 14 points. They give up 19 offensive rebounds and get out-rebound completely in the game. They miss. They shoot 54% from the free throw line. 54%. And really, that the hack of Mitch is what changed the game. The Knicks were playing a competitive first half, a competitive first quarter. They were a little sloppy with the basketball. It felt like there was a real stretch there of like four or five straight possessions. I think it started with the lazy behind the back pass from Jalen Brunson, and then there were, you know, attempts to catch a cutting Mitch Robinson, which was complete failure. A couple of bad throws out of bounds, missed dribbles. Like, there was a bunch of turnovers early in this game. They missed too many free throws. Campaign, we don't talk about the bench. Campaign, you can't come in and miss two free throws. But they're missing free throws. They're sloppy with the basketball, but they're hanging in. You've got big-time threes from OG Anunoby, who played great in this game offensively with 29 points to tie Brunson's 29. He's hitting threes, 6 of 11 from downtown to keep them in this game early. They're getting just enough offense from Bridges. They're getting just enough to keep them afloat in that game. And then all of a sudden, the hack of Mitch, as the Boston Celtics stole what they saw from the Pistons, that changed the entire first half of this game. They were in it. They got a little sloppy with the basketball. They're missing foul shots, but the game is close. And then because of foul trouble that, you know, you get the third, I think his third foul was an offensive foul from Karl-Anthony Towns, who could not buy a basket, who was trying. At least he didn't disappear. Like, he did call for the ball. They did work the ball to him. We did see those adjustments. It just wasn't working. And then, of course, as it's not working, the Celtics are building their lead. Then Mitchell Robinson has to come in because the third foul on Karl-Anthony Towns. And they start hacking him, and he's missing every single foul shot as he is 3 of 10 from the line. 3 of 10. And I understand that we can get all mad about that strategy and we can hate it and whatever else. I'm sorry. Mitchell Robinson has to be able to shoot better than 30% from the free throw line. And he's a liability on the floor. And you actually saw Precious Achiuwa for 5 minutes in this game because you had to put somebody else out there with Karl-Anthony Towns in foul trouble.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
But what you get in the second half and that run, and it starts with OG Anunoby in the third quarter, hitting all those big shots, big threes, getting to the basket, getting to the rim, and then, of course, Mr. Clutch himself with a bunch of big threes down the stretch. And as they're starting to get back into this game, watching the Celtics, and that's part of it too. I know they played poorly, right? And that's what you're going to hear. Hey, listen, you got lucky to get one. The Celtics played terribly in that game. You know, they're not going to be like that. I understand that, but watching this, and now obviously the injury to Kristaps Porzingis, or should I say the illness, rather, to Kristaps Porzingis is an issue. We'll see if he can play in game two. It certainly hurt them in this game, no doubt. But you watched it. It felt as if the Knicks were taking control of the game and the Celtics had no answers. I wasn't sure we were ever going to see that. I was fairly confident that the Knicks could make a series of this. I don't know about winning it. I don't know about really putting a scare into Boston, but I thought the Knicks could be a lot more competitive than a lot of people would tell you. Even I didn't think I would see an entire half of basketball where the New York Knicks were gaining traction, getting what they want, having good possessions, making the good pass to the open man. We saw Miles McBride hit a couple big threes. Obviously, OG Anunoby, they're distributing the basketball. Karl Anthony Towns down low, who has a tip in late in the game, has a off of a rebound, puts one back in the fourth quarter. Like, we saw the offense actually function while still having Brunson take the main shots down the stretch and hit those three consecutive three-pointers. But, like, as it was happening, they didn't know what else to do but take these ugly threes. And to miss 45 three-pointers in a playoff game and take 60 threes, and I know that's their game plan, and I know that's what they want to do, and I know that's what we're going to see in Game 2 and Game 3 and Game 4 and Game 5 if necessary. I understand that's what we're going to see from this Boston Celtics team, but they've got the Knicks on the ropes up 20. They have the Knicks in foul trouble. You've got three fouls on Hart. You've got three fouls on Karl Anthony Towns. And instead of trying to do something else, get to the basket, try and get other players in foul trouble, get to the foul line, waste some clock, you know, do something with a 20-point lead. Instead, as that third quarter starts going and OG starts turning it on and Brunson starts turning it on and Mikal Bridges ups up his defensive intensity, they had no answers. There was nowhere to go. There was nothing for them to do other than just hoist up threes all game long, and they weren't falling. And they got too many second chances for my liking, and that's something the Knicks are going to have to do a better job of. But it really felt like, for the entire second half, the New York Knicks had the better of play, and more than that, the Celtics had nowhere to go. They have their game plan of shooting threes, plain and simple. And as the game is slipping through their fingers, as all the momentum is changing, they had no plan B of doing anything else but continuing to play that game. And as the shots continue to clank off the back of the rim, as we see, you know, Jason Tatum 4 for 15 from three, Jaylen Brown 1 of 10, Derek White 5 of 16, 2 of 7 from Drew Holiday, 1 of 5 from Al Horford. Like, the shots just kept coming up. They kept missing them, and they had no real plan to stop what the Knicks were presenting. That's the best part of it, because we could talk about how poorly the Celtics played, and they didn't play great. And we could talk about some of the mismatches and some of the things, the rebounding, the missed free throws, the turnovers, but ultimately, as poorly as the Celtics played, it was more than that. There was a large portion of this game where the Celtics didn't know what to do. And obviously they tied up late, and me and Fleegs were talking about this right before I came on. What I love, you know, the overtime, and obviously Bridges in the overtime. I mean, what can you say? He gets the rebound, instead of going out of bounds, turns that into the dunk and the N1 from OG. He hits a big corner three when still, I mean, listen, his offensive game is still not great. He scores 8 points in this game. He's 3 of 13, 2 of 5 from three-point land. One of them is that one in overtime. He takes zero foul shots. I still don't, you know, it's not about him playing the best of his ability, but you can see in the biggest moments, his defensive intensity has completely ratcheted up from where we saw it during the regular season. Because that was a lot of our problem with him. It wasn't just that his offense wasn't there, the hitch at the top of his shot, the inability to hit three-pointers. It was that, where is this great defensive wing, two-way player we hear so much about, especially against the Boston Celtics as they hit all these threes, as he was unable to fight through screens. And listen, he scored 8 points in this game, but he was still so impactful. Much like Hart, you know, could score 14 points in this game, which is fairly good for him. 1 of 5 from three, you know, he can't shoot right now. But you could feel Hart's impact. Right, you heard Reggie Miller talking about it. You could hear, you know, loose balls, rebounds, tips, defense, all of it. That Mikal Bridges is starting to give me that feel where he is impacting the game in a major way without having to score. But he gets that unbelievable rebound, he hits the big three, and then obviously the final play of the game, he is all over that pass. You cannot play that any better, that final steal. As the ball is hitting his hands, he's ripping it out. That was an incredible defensive play. He does that without even, like, he's not facing the pass. He's facing the man, waiting for the reaction. Once the ball is in his hands, he's all over it. That was an incredible overtime performance. And the idea that Brunson misses that shot, the idea they hold the two missed shots at the end of the game from the Celtics, they have that final possession with 5 seconds left. I actually thought, and here's, I'll throw praises to the coach too. I kill him on the side out of bounds play. I'm screaming at the TV that I don't love the idea that he's inbounding the ball. It's only 5 seconds. Like, I have no problem with the guy. You want to take the shot inbounding the basketball. It's a completely normal strategy. I was nervous they wouldn't be able to get it back to him with only 5 seconds, especially if they play tough D and you're forced to throw it on the other side of the half court line. I didn't love it, but it actually ended up being a brilliant play. They get the back cut to the rim. He gets the good look. It's just off the rim, just off the basket. I thought it was going down. I don't know how it didn't go in, but you know what? It actually, to me, it makes me feel better about this Knick win, because it wasn't just the fourth quarter run. It wasn't just with the Celtics on their heels. It wasn't just as Brunson and OG was playing this game, hitting big shots, and the Celtics were failing. They had their moment. Okay, we got a couple minutes. We could take back control of this game. How many times have you seen the team that makes the run, that makes that big run at the end of the game to get back into the game, get into overtime, and see it all collapse on them? That is a natural kind, especially off that miss. Brunson misses after hitting the big shot against Detroit. He gets that excellent look. It's not even like he got some sort of terrible turnaround look and missed it. They drew up a good side out of bounds play. They get what they want, which bravo to Tibbs. He gets the cut back to the basket. He gets the good look at the rim. He gets the layup over a defender, but still, that's a basket that he hits. That's a very high percentage shot for Brunson. It goes off the rim, and I don't know. I know what you're thinking. I know what I'm thinking. I already spoke to Fleegs about it. We're all thinking, that's it. That's the game. The Celtics are too damn good. They're going to hit some threes. I am not very confident going into overtime, despite how the fourth quarter and really the entire second half went. I'm not. And to still go and continue the dominance and to still see the Celtics have no real offensive game plan but attempt to get good looks from three. And to watch Bridges play the way he played, even Karl-Anthony Towns, who had a miserable game, I don't want to hear the disappeared or soft, because I don't think he was soft in this game. He just couldn't finish around the rim. He tried. He got into foul trouble early. He's on the bench for a lot of it. It's hard to kill him necessarily. He had a terrible game, but it's hard to kill him for it. It wasn't one of those games where he's nowhere to be found. He was just unsuccessful getting to the rim. No fouls called against him. He had a couple shots blocked. He missed some decent looks. But even at the end of the game, that's an enormous putback in overtime. Everybody had their fingerprints on this remarkable win, and it's one of the better. Now, look, it's game one. They have to win three more, but they've already taken a split. They own home court advantage in the series now. And furthermore, I don't know what's going to happen in game two. We'll see, but we'll see if Porzingis is healthy. But as poorly as they played, and as much as the Celtics are champions and all of that, you can't tell me there was a moment in this game in the first half where I felt it, you felt it, the Knicks felt it, the Celtics felt it, that this is how these games go. That the Celtics are too good, that this game is ballooned to a 20-point lead, it's going to get worse in the third quarter, and we are going to leave thinking that this is going to go this way every game and they'll be lucky to get one. And instead, what happened and the way the game shifted in that third quarter, starting with really OG Anunoby and how he played in that third quarter. I'm sorry. I think this is an enormous win. I think it completely, we have a series. This completely changes things. I think it puts it in the Celtics' head. I mean, they're champions. I'm not saying they're going to tuck their tail between their legs, and I'm sure. Listen, I think game two is going to be a very difficult game to win now for the Knicks. A desperate Celtic team at home, defending champs. It's a tough game to go win. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure the Celtics are going to be in a good position to win this basketball game in game two. But this game puts that little bit of no matter where we are, no matter how it's going, this Knicks team isn't going anywhere. This is a statement. This is a statement from the New York Knicks. We're here. We're here. I can hear Big Zoo in my head right now. We're here. This is a series. It's not a pushover. What happened in the regular season means absolutely nothing. We just came into this building and slapped you around the entire second half, made you look like a one-trick pony, that you are strictly a make-or-miss team, and you missed, and we beat you, and then we even had an overtime where you could have gathered yourself, and instead it was the same terrible offensive game plan, and the Knicks dominated. They played better defense. They hit the shots. Bridges was the better. Brunson was the better closer than Tatum. And the Knicks walked into that building without even playing that well and took game one from the Boston Celtics. This is one of the better. I mean, this is the best Knicks win in 25 years. This is a series no one expects them to win. This is a series nobody thinks they can stand a chance in. This is a building nobody expected them to get a win. And they came out in game one and made the Pistons look bad. Made the Celtics look bad. Made the Celtics look bad. And they got it from everywhere. What a performance from the New York Knicks. What a victory. And we are in for a series, my friends, as we get ready for game two Wednesday night, 7 p.m. out in Boston, where the Knicks would look to take a stranglehold on the series and head back to New York up 2 games to none. And we would have all thought that to have been crazy to say, but it's not. And especially if Porzingis is hurt and we'll get, or, you know, still sick and can't go in game two. We'll get to it all. We'll get to the different plays in this game. We'll get to the different swings in this game. But ultimately, this Knicks team found a way to do something nobody thought they could do. And we are looking at a long, tough series.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
Let's go. 108-105. What an entertaining basketball game too, man. Just these, we haven't had this in forever, man. I know we had it last year with both series, but really the Sixers series last year. But I mean, when is the last time the Knicks are like playing the second round of the playoffs against the Boston Celtics as heavy underdogs? Coming back from 20 points down in the first half, like, I mean, That game was incredible last night. That is so much fun. That is the biggest win. I mean, me and Fleegs are talking about it. It's the biggest playoff win since. And I mean, look, I understand it's the first game of a second round, but this is just where we are. You can poo poo it, you can laugh at it, you can say, "Oh my God, Chris, it's the first game." Okay, you're talking. You have to go back to the 4-point play. You have to go back to Allen Houston against the Heat. Like, that's the last time we've had moments like this. That's how big this win is. The win against any of the wins last year against the even the 76ers or certainly the Pacers, because they end up losing the series. None of those wins were as big as this one against a team that you know, they're plus 900 or, you know, plus 500 against for the series. Like, they're supposed to get their ass kicked in this series. And to have everything look like it's going according to the plan that everybody expected. All right, they held it close in the first quarter. The Hakimich, we can get into the Hakimich, and we will. Like, I have no problem with it. I really don't. I know we're supposed, like, is it real basketball? Does it suck? Yes. Do I like it? No. Do I want to see it? Obviously not. Should Mitch be a good enough foul shooter where it's not that pronounced? Yes. Like, that's where I have the problem. I understand he's a big guy. I understand that that comes with its issues. We've seen it from Shaq to, you know, a bunch of different guys. You got to be able to shoot 50, 60%. You got to be able to hit 6 out of 10. You just have to. 3 out of 10 is unacceptable. So I don't blame him. And I don't blame them taking it from the Pistons and running with it. I don't. And that was the beginning of the downfall of that first half. Karl-Anthony Towns is out because of foul trouble, and they start playing the Hakimich, and the Knicks lose their offensive flow. And before you know it, they're down 20. And this game is over. It's over. And then OG comes out in the third quarter, and give him credit. And I'll tell you the truth, man. We talk about it. OG and all the money he makes, worth every penny last night. Mikal Bridges and all the draft picks he was traded away that were traded away to bring him here, worth every single one of them with his performance in the fourth quarter. He plays 51 minutes in this game. 51 minutes. Now, he's lousy. He's 3 for offensively. He's 3 for 13 from the field, 2 of 5 from three-point land, and only scores 8 points. Like, lousy offensively. But what he did defensively in this game, and then the way he played in overtime, playing 51 minutes. 51. And to play like he did in that overtime, that is a terrific performance. Between ending the Pistons series and starting this Celtics series, you know, outside of Brunson, clearly, Bridges is the second most important player, arguably. Now, OG was huge in the third quarter in this game. But when you combine both, you can make an argument that these last two games have really been Bridges coming out party and showing you why they went to go get him and showing you the importance of his play on the, and role on this team. It was really impressive. 888-808-1019. Let's get to your calls. Let's enjoy it while it lasts. Mike in Bayside. What's up, Mike?
Hey, killer open. You're like an understudy of Fred Sessler, and without the obnoxiousness, like, I'm just a huge fan of you.
Well, thank you.
Let me say this. With the game, yeah, you just mentioned, like, they were 8-1 to win the series. It went down to 5-1 right before game time. I caught it, and I had funny line. I had the spread. Very happy. I didn't like the turnovers in the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
But what I called about is to get your opinion on this. The spread in the second game, 10. I want to know what you're thinking of it, and if you want to know what I'm thinking of it.
I don't want to tell you what I'm thinking because it's going to be a downer.
You said it in the open, but let me give a good lens on it, right? Yeah. I think that they put it out there like 10, right? What are guys in Massachusetts doing? They're going to bang that. They're going to say, oh, we're going to definitely win the game, and we'll win by 10 easily.
Yeah.
Like, if you remember the Pistons series, the Knicks were favored by 7 the first game.
Yes.
They won and covered based on that, whatever, the last couple of minutes.
20-1 run.
Yeah, they were down.
21-0.
Yeah.
Run, yeah.
And, And then there were 6-point favorites in the second game, and I called you. I said, hey, why is it 6? Shouldn't it be 10? Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to interpret that. That's in hindsight, you know? But I think it's a trap. And I think that, if the Celtics would have won this game, I think this spread would have been like in the 12-13 range.
I think the loss might actually make the number go up. And I'm sorry, you got a lot of feedback as you're talking, bud. And not that the gambling angle, I have no problem talking gambling. It's just not the lead angle of this is not what the spread is tomorrow night or Wednesday night. Yeah, tomorrow night. I would think the spread is even higher with the win because they're with the loss because they're desperate. The Celtics can't lose this game. Now, I mean, again, we quibble with what can and must means. Obviously, they can because they need to lose 4, not just 2. But this Celtic team and the heavy favorites they are, the pressure that would be on them if they lost both games at home. Now, could they still win the series? Sure, they're really good. But you can't be that big a favorite and think that it's impossible to come back from 2-0. But that would be they need to win game 2. So I think the Celtics are going to come out. I think the first half of game 2 now is going to be extremely important and telling. Because if the Knicks could keep it close in the first half, I think that would be a major. I don't care what happens. I don't care statistics. I don't care. Keep it within 5 points in the first half, I'm happy. I'll be totally honest with you. Keep it within 5 points in the first half, I'll be thrilled. Because I fully expect the Celtics to come out with their hair on fire. They're desperate. If they won this game, then the Knicks are the desperate team. I'm not sure the number would be that much different. It's probably 10 no matter what. It's probably close to 10 no matter what. But I would say winning that game wouldn't make it any higher. I really don't think so. You got to understand, this is a major favorite. They won a game. You could point to this and go, you could very easily point to this and go, the Celtics missed 45 three-pointers. Porzingis was sick. Porzingis is, hopefully for the Celtics, is going to be available to go in game 2. You could have Porzingis back, and the likelihood of them missing 45 three-pointers is, as much as we talked about, I didn't expect them to shoot as well as they did during the regular season against the Knicks. I don't know if I expect them to take 60 and only hit 15. Like, you could point to this game and very easily say the Celtics played terribly. It's probably the worst they'll play all series long. They're going to be desperate for this game. I'm surprised it's only 10. I don't think this necessarily changes the outlook of this series that overwhelmingly, other than this is now a series. And you can forget all the talking points before this. We can forget all the talking points about the regular season. We can forget all the talking points about the mismatch and this and that and whatever else. Whatever we want to talk about. All of that is over. The only talking points left are what we saw from game 1 and what we expect from moving forward. It doesn't matter what happened in the regular season. Now, having said that, yeah, the Celtics are still good. The Celtics are still favored in this series. And I don't think the Knicks found any secret sauce necessarily other than they played tough defense, made the threes tougher than they made them in their previous meetings in the regular season, and the Celtics couldn't hit a damn shot in the second half. I saw this stat on Twitter. The Celtics, let me find it again. I don't know what time in the game this was, but the Celtics have taken 40 shots in the second half. At one point, their first 40 shots in the second half, 34 of them were three-pointers. I don't know how many more shots they took in the second half, but I saw the stat. I thought it was at the end of the game. I'm reading it now. I guess it wasn't quite at the end. But in the second half, their first 40 shots of the second half, 34 of them were from downtown. They did nothing but just throw up threes. That's all they did. And they had no way. I mean, did you even see them attempt to run offense, do anything else, drive to the basket? They're up 20. The Knicks are in foul trouble, and they're not trying to get to the basket. I know that's what they do, but that's absurd. So, I mean, if we're looking at it if I'm a Boston fan, I'm like, if I'm a positive Boston fan, and I why wouldn't I be the defending champs? I would say, hey, look, they played a miserable game. They missed all those threes. But, hey, they were still able to contain Karl-Anthony Towns. They were able to out-rebound and get second chances from the Knicks. And they had a 20-point lead that they blew.
But I'm not in Boston, and I don't have to go through that route. Osama in the Bronx, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I certainly can.
How you doing, boss? Long time listener, first time caller, man. And I'm an Uber driver, and just you make work enjoyable when you're on the line.
Oh, thank you very much.
Before I tell you about what I called about, I just want to say it was a beautiful game today, and you know we showed that New York heart and grit, and but the Knicks now got to be all business. Now we poked the bear, you know, we got to get ready for game two, and I feel this team is very connected, and I believe something special happened in game three and just united the team completely. Mm-hmm. But what I called about is our coach Tibb, how in the regular season he let Mikal Bridges come into the game and just like foul out and just leave the game. I believe that that ignited something in Mikal Bridges. Like I feel like personally it made him happy because I believe that record was very personal to him. So heading into the playoffs, you know, his head was clear and I felt like it was a very, very, very very good move, and you know, for Coach Tibbs to do it, it shows that that team is very connected and everybody's close, and
yeah,
that's what I was calling about.
Yeah, and thank you for the call. I don't know if that move in particular. I mean, and again, this is a Bridges who openly questioned the coach and how he was handling the bench in the minutes, specifically about how many minutes he was playing. So, yes, I mean, look, and I think that narrative is dead, too. I talked about the narrative of what happened in the Boston games during the regular season. I think we can forget. I don't want to hear another thing about the toughness of the New York Knicks. I don't want to hear another thing about the continuity and the chemistry of the New York Knicks. They just, against the defending champs, battled back after being down 20 points and then had to do it again in overtime. And did it by playing excellent defense and hitting clutch shots and working and having really good ball flow, really having good offense, giving the ball. I mean, think about it in the fourth quarter. Yes, Brunson hit some big shots, you know, step back threes. He played a little bit of ISO. That's going to happen no matter what. But we saw big threes from everyone on the team, right? Deuce hits a big three. Bridges hits a big three. OG had six threes in this game, 6 of 11. I mean, we saw guys take big shots, get to the basket, make, you know, it wasn't just hero ball. They were able to move it around. They were able to create some offense, get open looks, you know, baskets in transition, off steals, putbacks from Karl-Anthony Towns. They got a little bit of everything while Brunson still had the biggest shots. And then, yeah, Brunson... And then Bridges defensively was incredible. But I don't want to hear anything more about toughness or cohesiveness or they needed DiVincenzo to bring some attitude. They have plenty of attitude. They have plenty of toughness. They have plenty of chemistry. You can't do that against the Boston Celtics. You can't come back from 20 points down in the first half and play the second half like they did. You can't do that without chemistry, without toughness, without grit. And I said it last week, and I'll say it again, I fully believe that the Piston series was the best thing that happened to him. And maybe even losing game five and having to win it in six in the way they did with that shot. Like, just the physical nature of that series, the demanding nature of that series. I mean, I think they are battle-tested. I think that series was a huge positive for them. I said it last week that I was hoping it would be and that I think it will be. And I think in game one it showed. Nothing was too much for them. They had wild swings in the Pistons series. They were, you know, it was impossible to get shots off. They had to figure things out. I think that was far better than going through an easy breezy series like they did against Orlando. I really do. Now, they're defending champs, so I'm sure they'll battle back. No one is, you know. We're not getting out of hand here. We understand how difficult the task is, and the Celtics are still favored to win the series, and they should be. But that game last night showed me a hell of a lot about the Knicks, and for a good stretch, it wasn't just a 15-1 run. It wasn't just a run in this game. There was an entire second half and into the fourth quarter where the Knicks got what they wanted, and the Celtics looked confused.
I wasn't sure we were going to see that for any stretch, let alone an entire half of basketball. I think that bodes really well. I really do. I think, and this is a statement game. They made a statement. This is now a series. A lot of people weren't expecting a series. This is a series. Let's go to Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Well, Chris, you touched on two things. First of all, I'll tell you this right now. I'll be calling the Knicks tomorrow. I'm not going to volunteer. I want to get paid to do it. I will hang out and let Mitch Robinson shoot as many foul shots.
Yeah.
Hundreds. Yeah. Thousands every day.
Yeah, Fleek said that to me. Every we were day? Talking about it, like tomorrow. He all day today. He needs to be at the foul line all day because it's getting to the point where you can't put him on the court.
I think there was a Precious Achiuwa signing.
He played 5 minutes in this game. Yep.
Very nice. I like some of the I like some potential matchups with him on some of the guys on the Celtics. But you touched on something. I want to get to it, and it has to do with the sheer level of arrogance that the Celtics showed. You know what? When you're up by 20 in the playoffs and you want to make and you have a team like the Celtics, I have no idea why they decided to opt for low percentage shots. Look, at best, if you're shooting 43% from three, you're doing well, okay? 43, 40, 45, that's a high percentage from three. That those guys were not hammering, like, the shots that are 65%. You know, talk about it. Within 15 feet, 13 yeah. feet, 17 feet. Why they were not hammering away. That's coaching, and that's sheer arrogance. And you know what? We had to suffer as Knicks fans. I mean, there was one game. There were two of those games where those guys were closing their eyes, throwing the ball up in the air, and it was dropping through. And I said, my God, how is this even possible? Because you know what? If you're going to make a ton of threes, it puts so much pressure on the other team. There's no such thing as a five-point shot.
Right.
Right? And sooner or later, you know, you can make as many twos as you want, but if the other team is just raining threes, right, you have to tip your hat. Well, tonight, the basketball gods said no. Mm-hmm. Enough of this. We're not letting you do this in this game. And you know what? The whole thing, they strategized it. And then, look, I'm happy. And I wonder how healthy Holiday is. Because he's a huge, his numbers, disregard the numbers, he's a huge part of their team.
Yeah.
He really is.
No, he is.
And if
he only played 30. He played 39 minutes in this game, which is the least on the starting five, except Porzingis, who left the game. But he was 2 for 7 from three, and I feel like the first two, I feel like he was like 2 for 3 or 2 for 4, and missed the last bunch, or missed the last couple down the stretch. But yeah, no, Holiday is obviously a very important player for them. Him coming over here last year kind of changed the feel of the team and led them to a championship. You're right. And I said it before, arrogance is a way to put it. They didn't get off their game plan. They're up 20 points, and they're not interested in milking the clock. They're not interested in getting guys like Karl Anthony Towns and Hart, who are already in foul trouble. They're not interested in trying to go to them. They're not interested in trying to get to the basket. They're taking the second they have a decent look at a three, they're putting it up. 60. They shot 97 shots in the game. 60 of them are three-pointers. Like, almost twice as many threes as just field goals. They missed a playoff record 45 threes. And that's why when people talk about, you know, I hate to say it because I don't necessarily subscribe to this. I think that most of the time people like the generation they grew up in. People like the generation when they were younger. Like, we say it all the time. Oh, this football was better back then, you know, when you could actually hit the quarterback. Or, you know, now the 90s basketball was so much better than today's game. It's ridiculous. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I can tell you those people who have that argument
are looking at tonight's Celtics game and go, what the hell is this? What is this? I mean, they're passing up layups to take three-pointers. Like, they're passing up, they're driving through the basket, having good looks underneath and looking to dish from that position when the perimeter defenders collapse. Like, that's the game. The Celtics put up threes. It's not even their percentage. It's just the sheer number of threes they take. It's crazy. And it leads to a level of basketball that sometimes gets boring. I don't want to see nothing but three shut up, but I don't think this game ever felt boring to me watching the Knicks go on this run. Right? And when they cut it to 11, that's when it felt like, right, there was a timeout or a foul or something off of the 11. So, like, they cut it down to 11. I'm like, all right, we got a little bit of a game here. Then they get it down to 6. Then really it's the breakaway dunk from OG that ties the game. And from that moment on, I mean, they were on roller skates, man. That's the best part about it to me. This wasn't some fluky win. This wasn't like the Celtics didn't play great. I don't think anyone would tell you they did. You don't blow a 20-point lead while playing well. So they did not have their best game. That is totally fair. They missed every stinking shot. They weren't very good. Tatum wasn't very good. They weren't very good. But the best part of this wasn't, you know, this wasn't some miraculous thing. Like, that 20-point lead dissipated because the Knicks outplayed the hell out of the Celtics for an entire half of basketball. And then into the fourth quarter. I mean, and then into overtime, rather. And in overtime, even though it's only a three-point win, it felt like they just dominated overtime. And Mikal Bridges. I'm watching that steal again. I'm also watching his three-pointer. Someone put up a video and is claiming that it actually went off his corner three actually went off the glass, which would be miraculous. But, I mean, him that defensive play, his ability to stay on the man and not worry about the basketball, and then once Brown receives the pass, he has to kind of extend back towards the half court line. And that gives enough time where he has to catch it like kind of one-handed and bring it back to the center of his body. And by the time he brings the ball back, Bridges is all over it, ripping it out of his hands. I mean, it was just you cannot play it better. From the moment he makes that save in the corner on the rebound that leads to the N1 dunk from OG Anunoby, to his corner three, to that defensive play. Those are the three biggest plays of the game. Now, obviously, down the stretch, a million different plays have to go their way to come from behind, and particularly those couple of step-back threes that Brunson put up when he was in the fourth quarter when he was hot was just incredible. It's just incredible. Right? The call, he's a machine. You want to play? Can we get some of the calls to have a little bit of fun and hear some sound from the game? Because, like, those step-back threes were enormous. OG Anunoby hitting big threes, getting to the basket. He's got a couple dunks in this game. But those, to me, like, and especially just because of who they, like, Mikal Bridges is so, you know, we've been killing him all year. And rightfully so. I'm not saying ha-ha to all you Bridges haters. Like, it's been fair. He's been very disappointing. His three-point shot has been atrocious all season, and that really hasn't changed. Although he shot 40% last night, 2 of 5. I mean, defensively, he didn't look like the same player for almost all of the year. Like, he has really had, he had a miserable first season as a New York Knick after they made the move to get him with all those picks. Like, that was, you know, though, that's one of the two moves that were made to win this series. I mean, if you think about it, and I heard, you know, BT talking, I saw a couple clips of BT, and he's right. You know, Leon Rose, these were the moves made to win this series. Karl Anthony Towns, Mikal Bridges, brought here to help them win this series. And if Bridges didn't help them in game one, my goodness, those three plays, saving the ball out of bounds, hitting his corner three, and then obviously the final defensive play. Like, you could argue those are the three most important plays of the entire game. You could argue those are the three hustle. Like, he did it all. He hustled. He hit the shot. He defended. He did all three. He played with intensity and intangibles. He hits the big three. And then you could not be more sound defensively. You could not be more fundamentally sound on that final play. So on those three plays, it presents all three ways of the game. You've got the hustle, saving the ball out of bounds, the intangibles of a game-winning type play that leads to a three-point play on the dunk. Then he's got the corner three and his ability to shoot. And then he's got the perfect fundamental defensive play. He's not watching the inbounder. He's on the ball. The second that ball is brought back to Brown's body, he's all over it. You couldn't play it. Not only did he prevent the shot, he stole the basketball. He ripped it right out of his hands. It's an incredible play. That fourth quarter was incredible. 888-808-1019. When we come back, we'll play a little bit of sound. Mike says he's got some sounds queued up. The Yankees did have a miserable loss. We can get into it, but we are talking New York Knicks this morning as the New York Knicks defeat the Boston Celtics 108-105 in one of the biggest wins the Knicks have had in 25 years. And it was fun to watch, and we have ourselves a series.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.